Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Climbing walls and sports teams aren't the only selling points for colleges and universities. There is the school's carbon footprint. Yes, that's why in the last 6 years, hundreds of schools have signed on to something called the President's Climate Commitment. It's a complicated document, but it basically says that schools recognize the dangers of climate change as a fact. They understand there are benefits to reducing greenhouse gases, and they commit to heading toward the goal of carbon neutrality. Only a few, including Colby College in Maine and Green Mountain College in Vermont, have achieved total neutrality. Others, like the University of Minnesota at Morris, are well on their way. Earlier this year, that school was awarded the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education Gold Rating, and Architecture Minnesota magazine praised some of the school's unique renovations, including its use of chilled beams. Jacqueline Johnson is Chancellor of the University of Minnesota Morris. She joins us from the studios of MPR in St. Paul. Chancellor, start with, what are chilled beams?
You would have to start with the hardest question. One of my colleagues describes it as being something like a beer can. So if you have a beer can in the summer and it's in a humid area, it collects moisture, and the moisture helps to cool the environment around you. I think we're the first building in the University of Minnesota system to use chilled beam technology. It's much more frequent in Europe, but it's a way of cooling a building that keeps the people who live in the building much happier than they would be if they had conventional air conditioning.
And I think you're not just the first in the University of Minnesota system, but you're the first entire building on the National Register to use it. We want to talk more about that building. We have pictures posted at hereandnow.org. But just let's back up a second. Remind us, what is carbon neutrality? It's not using any fossil fuels at all. So what is it?
Achieving carbon neutrality would represent the state of affairs in which you are no longer producing bad gas, carbon dioxide, methane, other gases that are not particularly good for the environment. So it, in most cases, does mean using some combination of non-fossil fuels, although schools achieve carbon neutrality in a variety of ways. Some schools, for example, work toward that goal by buying carbon credits, so buying credits from organizations or institutions that are not using fossil fuels, and they invest in those organizations and then can claim those credits. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening on my campus. We are moving toward carbon neutrality through an integrated system of on-site generation of electricity and heating and cooling using principally non-fossil fuels.
How are you producing energy on campus?
We have a variety of resources. We have two 1.65 megawatt wind turbines. Those are the great big ones. And on average, they produce over 60% of our electricity. We have a biomass gasifier that burns corn cobs, mixed prairie grasses, that burns things from the region. Our gasification system can use a variety. It's kind of a flex fuel system. We can use corn cobs. We can use natural gas if the price of natural gas is lower than what we would pay for the corn cobs. We can also back up with fuel oil if we need to. We're on the Minnesota prairie. It gets really cold where we are. So we've got wind. We've got biomass to heat and cool the campus through a steam engine and a chiller. And then we also have solar panels. We just installed a new array of solar panels that are connected directly to a new residence hall. They will provide about half of the electricity for that new residence hall. So we have a combination of non-fossil fuel approaches to really improving our carbon footprint, but also putting money back into the local economy.
Because you're buying their corn cobs?
Exactly right. Yeah. It's a 60-mile radius, and so it's really close, and we avoid what would be more costs related to transportation, and that is one of the measures of carbon emissions. It isn't just what you're emitting if you're burning coal, for example, but it's also the transportation costs that are associated with bringing fuel to the place where you're using it.
Well, shoot, this sounds, I mean, there's the cost of buying the cobs, but I'm thinking you need an entire staff with a whiteboard to track all of this. You know, how much are we emitting now? How do we pull back here and let go there? I mean, is this expensive for you to do?
Well, it's a good point that we need an entire staff, or you need really fancy computers and instrumentation. And so the biomass gasification plant on the Morris campus is installed also as a research and a demonstration platform. And so we have various kinds of instrumentation that allow us not only to measure what we're burning and how much heat it's producing and how we're cooling, but also allows us to measure emissions. There is instrumentation that goes along with it. And so our plant probably added about $1 million in cost in order to install this instrumentation.
That's Jacqueline Johnson, Chancellor of the University of Minnesota, talking about that school's goal of carbon neutrality. You're listening to Here and Now. Chancellor Johnson, you are paying now, but I understand you started thinking about this in the hopes it'll someday save you money.
That's exactly right. So in the early 2000s, when the price of natural gas spiked, the person who was in charge of our facilities said, how are we going to pay our bills? And that was, I think, really the beginning of thinking about how we can use local natural resources to do things that we don't think about doing with local natural resources. Morris, Minnesota is, some people would say it's in the middle of nowhere. I like to say that we're in the middle of everywhere. If you look at wind maps in the United States, we are in a wonderful wind area. It doesn't seem so wonderful in February sometimes when the wind is blowing.
But the sun is out.
The sun is out. That's exactly right. We have wind, we have sun, and so that's solar. And we are surrounded by acres and acres of corn and soybeans. And so we have biomass. And so why not use local natural resources either to make your pricing more predictable in the future, to save money, and also to have a positive impact on the environment. And then in our case, as part of the land grant institution that is the University of Minnesota, also to find a way to support the region and to find a way to put money back into the region. And that's what we're doing, and also serve, I think, as a model for others to come and see and to learn from us.
Well, and that's happening with a building that you renovated. It's the one that I mentioned that's on the National Register of Historic Places. It's now your welcome building. I'm reading in Architecture Minnesota that back in the 1970s, the energy crisis, people used to brick up windows to keep out the cold. But you took out the brick and have a more modern glass to take in natural light.
That's right. This is a really beautiful building now, and it was really grim. It reminded me a little bit of a prison. The windows were actually stuccoed over, and so they had little slits that you could that you could look out of, and it made sense, I suppose, at the time. It is now just a spectacularly beautiful building. It's small. It is filled with natural light, the chilled beam technology that we mentioned before. It repurposed old materials and got us to LEED Gold standing, and it was first building on our campus to be LEED Gold. We have a new residence hall that has just received LEED Gold recognition.
That's Jacqueline Johnson, Chancellor of the University of Minnesota at Morris, a leader in the college movement to become carbon neutral. Chancellor Johnson, thank you.
Robin, thank you very much.
And the chancellor says students are choosing her school because of its carbon neutrality. It's a big draw. How about your school? What is it doing? Does it matter to you? Let us know. Leave a comment with this story at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.